The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
8 o'clock on a Wednesday here on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
You want to talk about old people? I just had a friend of mine text me going, talking about Sean Connery roles. I'm like, that was yesterday's show, bro. Well, I opened it up, and there it was. No, that was yesterday, man.
Do it in moderation, Dusty.
That's right. I've got more life advice from Mitch Holtis in the last 6 weeks than I've got in the last 6 years.
It's the simple things, right?
That's right. I am a gluttonous goblin. Yep. That's my mascot on Thanksgiving. Back here on Fesco and Dusty, home field advantage. You can get a lot of advantages at your home field, Johnny's Tavern, if you think about it realistically, Bob.
Yeah, you really can, because the football season, the best place to watch all the games is at Johnny's Tavern. And now through December 15th at Eddie's Johnny's Tavern, scan the QR code to enter for a chance to win a tailgate prize pack and the grand prize of a hosted watch party with a $300 bar tab for you and your friends. Each location will have a winner, so don't miss out. Grab your friends, grab a Yingling, and get in on the action only at Johnny's Tavern. In partnership with 96.5 The Fan, your home for football fun, and Yingling, must be 21 to enter.
Speaking of 96.5 The Fan, at TheFan96.5 on Twitter, you can go to our Fesco and Dusty poll question Wednesday. you have to pick one to consume: imitation crab or fake plant-based burger.
I'm going imitation crab on this one. The plant-based burger being made in the factory by like a Homer Simpson wannabe is just not something I'm interested in.
Where do you think the imitation crab's being made?
I don't want to know.
If your focus is that.
It's probably the same factory in the next conveyor belt over.
It's like the Shane Gillis commercial for Bud Light right now. It's like, oh, I'm here for a Bud Light commercial. Oh, you're in the wrong studio. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Imitation crab is leading 79.2% over fake burger, 20.8%.
Wow. Didn't expect that.
Yeah, well, enjoy your imitation crab.
Wait, what's the runaway total?
79.2 to 20.8, imitation crab in the lead.
Imitation crabs in the league. I'm surprised at that, quite honestly.
At least that big of a gap, at least. Yeah. I think I'm with you, though, Bob.
Like, if we were on the coast, well, maybe if we were on the coast, then we probably wouldn't, because they have access to real fish.
Exactly.
Right. They're like, what's imitation crab?
It's like when I went to Portland, Oregon, they're like, what's air conditioning?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you guys don't have air conditioner? No, we don't need it. Like, the hottest it gets is like 80.
Yeah.
We're having a heat storm up here. It's 83. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Open the window.
What's your electric bill? What are you talking about?
Yeah, zero. So imitation crab is running away with this thing. Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Focus, Dusty. Thank you, Mitch. Number one seed. I was thinking about this the other day when we were kind of finishing the show, and I was thinking to myself, because we were talking about how the race for the one seed in both divisions, really in the AFC, is between, I guess, three teams. It's Kansas City, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's still alive.
Because they have the Chiefs on their schedule, so they can. There's a tiebreaker opportunity, and they lead their division. They have a good record, so that's there. Buffalo, obviously, has already beaten Kansas City. They're one loss behind the Chiefs. And they play the Rams this week, and then they play the Lions next week. The Chiefs play the Chargers this week, and then they will play Cleveland the following week, correct? Okay. Detroit and Minnesota and Philadelphia are in a dogfight. Like, everybody talks about how Detroit is single-handedly the best team in football, and they're running away with everything. Maybe not. But again, Detroit needs the one seed more than Kansas City needs the one seed. And this isn't me ducking out of the way to say, well, if they don't get it, the season's not over. The Chiefs didn't need the one seed last year. They went on the road to Buffalo and won, but the conditions were cold. Guess what? The conditions are cold in Kansas City.
If we didn't have the success last year on the road, would we be having this conversation today, or yes, would we be saying we need the one seed?
Yes, because my narrative is Patrick Mahomes' road record, and Patrick Mahomes plays in the cold no matter what. Detroit needs the one seed because their last game outside of a dome is December 30th, and it doesn't really count because they play the Niners December 30th.
Yeah, that's not an outdoor game.
That's going to be a nice day in the Bay, you might
probably
say.
65?
Eat some hay? What do you say? And it's going to be probably 70 to 65 degrees, like you said. That ain't bad. Detroit needs a one seed because if they get the one seed, they ain't playing outside of a dome the rest of the way, because guess where the Super Bowl is at, boys? It's in New Orleans, in a dome. Detroit needs the one seed because I can't imagine. Now, I know they've been to Green Bay this year, and it was crappy conditions, and their secondary defender got kicked out of the game, and they avoided the destruction of what that game could have been. Rainy, wet, nasty, and Detroit won. Congratulations. But again, wasn't really like Lambeau. Wasn't like cold weather. We saw what that did to Miami, a team that plays in the South, played against bad teams and beat them, played against good teams and lost. The Chiefs, no matter what, will play in cold weather throughout the playoffs, whether they're the home seed, whether they have to go on the road. It's going to be cold in Pittsburgh. It's going to be cold in Buffalo. It's going to be cold in Kansas City. They don't necessarily need it because their quarterback on the road is great. Their quarterback in the playoffs is great. And he could spin it in anything, as we've already heard him say when they played that snow game against Drew Lock against Denver. So I think the one seed is way more important for Detroit than it would be Kansas City.
I think when you're talking about the one seed, the team that has the least amount of playoff experience probably needs it more than anybody else. And I think if you're Detroit right now, you have last year, and that's really it from a playoff standpoint. Now, obviously, their quarterback has playoff experience and Super Bowl experience, and that does carry weight. But I think when you're a younger team, it is better to have those games at home. And for the Chiefs right now, they've proven that they can go anywhere on the road and win. But I'll be honest with you. I want those games here. I like the Arrowhead Invitational. I think the number one seed is vitally important for the Chiefs. And I will disagree with you. I think it's more important for the Chiefs than it is for anybody else. For one reason, and one reason only, because of the bye.
Yes, that's where I'm at.
Had the bye week been this week for the Kansas City Chiefs, I may have been on your side in this one.
So you're saying the Chiefs are getting the one seed. They don't want it for home field advantage. They want it for the
bye.
They
want it for the bye.
Yeah, I totally agree.
They want it for the bye. And there's two reasons why you want it for the bye. Number one, you want to get guys healthy, right? You want to make sure everybody's healthy. Everybody's ready to go. Mm. Look what having that week off against the Chargers last year, whoever they played the last game of the season when nobody played, right? San Diego, right? Travis took the week off. Chris Jones would have had the week off but had incentives. How much fresher Travis was in the playoffs by just getting that one week off. So you haven't had a bye since, since week six, which was like October 11th, okay? Mm. We're already almost 2 months removed from the bye. By the time you get to the playoffs, it'll be 3 months since you had a week off. You're also starting this 3 games in 10 day thing that's going to take place between the Cleveland game, Houston, and Pittsburgh. You're going to play Cleveland on the 15th. You're going to play Houston on the 21st. You're going to play Pittsburgh on the 25th. And then you're going to finish the season at Denver, who could be playing for their playoff lives against you. That is a gauntlet coming up for this team. So I think the number one seed is much more important for Kansas City than it is for Detroit. Number one for the rest, and number two for DJ Humphreys. It gives you that extra week where he doesn't have to play in a playoff game. He can get ready for that playoff game, and you don't have the wear and tear on your guys by having to play in that wild card game. I think it's much more important for Kansas City than it is for Detroit.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you mentioned that week 18 game. Let's say, they don't get that one seed. The Chiefs get the two seed. You know, whatever happens against Denver happens. And then the very next week, they'll play Denver most likely again. In what will be a playoff game at home. And then more than likely, the way that it will turn out, if you just go based off favorites, you're playing two road games, one at Baltimore and one at Buffalo. And that's just going to be really, really hard. I know they did that last year, but with combining the lack of rest, the injuries with this season. You mentioned DJ Humphreys. For me, Hollywood Brown, he's going to have 2 weeks back actually playing to get him a week of rest, a week. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, that's another one.
Let's watch this film. Let's watch what I did in these 2 weeks. Let's practice again. Let me learn some more plays with you guys. Let me learn these signals, whatever it is. I think the rest is massive for this team.
I think the first round bye now in the NFL is so important. It gives you such an, at least for our standpoint, it gives the Chiefs such an advantage to have that week off. I know they didn't last year and they took care of business and that was all great, but they used that Charger game as a bye. You may not have the opportunity to use the Denver game as a bye this year going into the playoffs.
Does your narrative change if they do use that Denver game as a bye? Or then are you saying, well, now they get 2 weeks off?
No, I think the 2 weeks off would be good, too. Yeah. But I don't think they're going to be in that position to use the Denver game as a bye. Because, I mean, other than Detroit, do you really see Buffalo stubbing their toe a little bit? I don't.
No. Their last three games are Jets, Patriots, Jets.
Right. They have not played the Jets yet this year.
So it's just the Lions, unless you think the Rams are really going to give them a run for their money, which they could, I guess, this weekend, but I don't see it. So
Rams and Bills, you throw out the record books when those two teams get together. Now, maybe it's a letdown game for Buffalo because of what happened last week.
Absolutely.
The snow, the excitement. Now they're the team everybody's talking about. Maybe they have a letdown week, but I don't sense that, and there's only one other opportunity for Buffalo to stub their toe, and that's Detroit. And if they don't, like you mentioned, Jets, Patriots, Jets, to finish out the season, they have three byes going into the playoffs.
I could see Denver losing two of their last four.
They got Cincinnati. Who else? They
play. They have a bye week this week. Then they play at home versus the Colts.
Okay,
that's a better game than you think.
No, that's a good game.
No, I think you want Denver to win, so they're not playing for anything in Week 18.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That makes sense.
Colts, Chargers, Bengals, Chiefs.
Like, you'd love to go into that Week 18 game with both the Chiefs and the Broncos having to play for nothing, where everything is already wrapped up.
Lined up.
And I, quite honestly, I think there's an opportunity that the Chiefs may be playing for more in that final game of the season than the Broncos are. Because I don't know that the Broncos are going to move off that 7 line.
They got a game and a half, maybe two games on the Colts. If they beat the Colts and
beat the Colts in their next game, it's over. They've locked up the 7 seed.
And legitimately, we'll know our playoff teams. We really already do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you rather have a week of rest, host Houston or Pittsburgh, and then play Buffalo at home, or have no rest and be on the road twice and have to play both Baltimore and Buffalo?
Well, if you're the 2 seed, you get two home games. Because you play the wild card in the division round here. The only way you travel is you the AFC Championship game. If you're the 2 seed and the 1 seed, you'll get two home games. So you play home, and then you travel.
Home, away. Yeah, okay,
but
that's
the
fair.
Less games you can play in the playoffs is better for everybody.
No doubt about it.
You know, that's duh, Bob. You know, I think if there were two byes, imagine how different we'd be kind of talking about that. Or if there were no byes and everybody, I think the bye is just a huge advantage from a health standpoint. And the Chiefs have shown that over the years. And they've also shown where they didn't have a bye, they can still beat your ass. So
I think you should automatically have a bye if you have to play three games in 10 days and two of them are in 4 days.
I mean,
give me a break. But
I know Chris Jones kind of spoke about it. And I'm not saying this because I'm a homer, but honest to God, three games in 10 days and your bye was in October?
Yep. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk disappointment, but not with the Chiefs. We talk disappointment with everybody but the Chiefs here on 96.5 The Fan, your new home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes.
Pounding through a Wednesday here on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, and some other guy with you today. A little stat for you here. Who wants to throw some money down on this bet?
All right.
Justin Herbert hasn't thrown an interception in 10 consecutive weeks.
Oh, he's going to get one this weekend, I'll tell you.
I go to DraftKings, and I go to the prop bet that you can have of over a half of an interception for Justin Herbert in the game. Let's go
here. It's negative money this week.
I bet it's plus money that he doesn't throw one, would be my guess. Because normally I do that with Jameis Winston, and it always cashes. But they don't have, of course, they don't have all the prop bets.
You bet that Jameis is going to throw an interception? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's a given.
Mm-hmm. You bet over one and a half, over half an interception and over one and a half touchdowns. He's always good for two touchdowns and an interception. It seems, at least. But then again, what do I know? I lose every bet I place.
Because he's a coach killer. You know, he's one of those guys that you're like, gosh, look how good he is. And then they say, oh, my God, look how bad he is at the same time. And that's not the kind of guy you want as your quarterback, you know, in a consistent basis for 18 games, because he's probably going to throw you away more games than he is going to win you games at this point in time. And we saw it on Sunday night. Like, Denver wins that game because Jameis throws two pick sixes.
Well, he essentially got two coaches fired on the last play last year. He took the fake knee and scored a touchdown.
Right.
And Atlanta got rid of their coach, now the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And then essentially the New Orleans Saints tried to tell everybody they didn't like their coach, and then they decided to fire him halfway through the season this year.
Right, exactly. And do you remember the guy who's the coach in New Orleans now?
The Clogger?
Yeah. Do you remember what his name is?
Darren Rizzi.
Oh, BBL Rizzi. Yeah. BBL Rizzi.
Okay. Yeah. We talked about disappointment. The Chargers are kind of a disappointing franchise.
No doubt.
Yes. Because if you look at what they've had at quarterback and what they've done with it, diddly poo.
Yep.
To take a Jim Mora line. And the thing about that is, you look at it and you're like, okay, well, what have they had? Drew Brees,
mm-hmm.
Philip Rivers, and now Justin Herbert. We are still way too early to judge what Justin Herbert can do because he finally has his year. Again, we just said he's gone 10 weeks without an interception thrown. He's got a quarterback or a coach that believes in him.
That's huge.
He's got a coach that knows how to win on every league he's ever been in and get the best out of every single position player he's had at quarterback. You look at everywhere he goes, right? You look at San Francisco. Alex Smith's career came back to life when he got Jim Harbaugh. And then he turned Colin Kaepernick into whatever Colin Kaepernick became. He became the starter and went to the Super Bowl with him.
A guy who people still think, you know, 8 years since he's played could still play. That's what he did for Colin Kaepernick.
And then he goes to college and gets J.J. McCarthy, gets everything he can out of J.J. McCarthy. First round draft pick.
Yep.
Probably going to take over the reins in Minnesota. I would think next year. Maybe
well,
not.
He's got to beat out Daniel Jones.
Oh, yeah. And then you look at this year, right? And I was wrong. And I want to take time to say that. I was very, very, very wrong about the Chargers this year. I thought, knowing what we knew in the preseason, that Justin Herbert was going to have like foot issues, which he had.
Yeah,
he was missing games. A lot of people were thinking, all right, how's that foot going to hold up? Is he going to have, because I think it was like plantar fasciitis, or however you say that word.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried. I was like, okay, Justin Herbert's going to be, you know, inconsistent. He's going to get injured. He's going to be in and off the field. Chargers are going to have an upsetting season with year one under Harbaugh. Completely wrong. I admit it. Hello, hand of the sky. I was wrong about the Chargers. They are all bought in on the Harbaugh way, which is going to be interesting because, as we know, Harbaugh likes to run, then pass. Whereas before, they were like, hey, Justin Herbert, go out there and just create everything. Even though you've only been in the league 4 years, and you've had three different head coaches, and none of them know what they're doing, but go out there and just make something happen. Go do you. Whereas Harbaugh comes in and builds belief, he builds structure, and he builds winning. And he's done that with Herbert, who now will be without J.K. Dobbins, which is going to be a
huge
big blow for them. That's a big blow for them, right?
Yep.
Gus Edwards has taken over as the realm at running back.
Gus Edwards has played since the 90s, hasn't he?
I think he's younger than you think.
Is he? Yeah. I feel like he's been a San Diego / L.A. Charger since the 90s.
Well, this is his first year with the Chargers, but he's been with the Ravens, I think, for the previous three or four as the backup to J.K. Dobbins.
He's 29, yeah.
Yeah, so, but he's getting close. He's aging in running back years. But you think about what the Chargers have done, maybe this is now the time they do it, because they didn't do it with Marty and Drew and Phillip Rivers. They didn't do it with Norv Turner and Phillip Rivers. And now they've got a chance with a new quarterback. But again, the one thing they've got to be able to do, which they didn't have to worry about back in the day, they got to get past the Chiefs. And this is one of those games where you guys talk about how every team plays their Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You better believe this is probably the first time in a while where the Chargers are coming into this game, into the Red Kingdom, thinking, we can play with these guys. And with all the disappointment their franchise has had with the line of quarterbacks they've had, which you were thinking about the other day at Smokehouse, and you think, yeah, it's interesting. They've had 2-14-2 seasons, nothing to show for it. Phillip Rivers, is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. Never won in the playoffs. Big mark on your resume. Now you have Justin Herbert, who we all can agree, I think now at this point, top five quarterback, in my opinion. And Binkley's opinion, too.
Yeah.
And when you look at this, I still can't believe Rob Brent would take Jared Goff over Justin Herbert. Still can't believe that. But does this team, with all this disappointment now, do you believe in this Charger way that Harbaugh has built, and with Justin Herbert coming into Arrowhead, will we see a different type of Chargers team?
I'm a bigger believer in Jim Harbaugh than I was the day that he was hired. When he was hired as the head coach of the Chargers, we were still talking about the confetti looking like pieces of snowflake and all that weird stuff that went on after they won the national championship. He looked like Mr. Magoo. And I'm like, I don't know that this is going to work again in the NFL. He hasn't been there in a long time. You know, it's probably not going to cut it in the NFL anymore.
It's a bit corny. It's a bit cheesy. Yeah,
I was wrong. Yeah. Right. Like that could, like, I don't know if you saw this tweet. He had people that are grown men, millionaire athletes, in the locker room singing for "He's a Jolly Good Fellow."
That's right.
That team is bought in to what Jim Harbaugh is preaching.
As they should
be. And that's the number one battle right there. Getting grown men to buy into your corny stuff. And Jim Harbaugh figured that out. And you keep mentioning over and over again, he showed belief in Justin Herbert. And I think that is so important because third head coach in 5 years or whatever it's been. Now I'm drawing a blank, and I like that
Brandon
guy.
Brandon Staley.
Yeah, the
was
guy
the one they just
him.
Got rid of. Jim Harbaugh. And
I'm drawing a blank right now. Anthony Lynn. And I don't think they should have fired Anthony Lynn. I think he was a good head coach. But what do I know, right? So he's on his third head coach in 5 years. I'm like, God, this is just not good for a quarterback. But that head coach, Jim Harbaugh, came in and loved this kid up and celebrated him and made him a believer in himself and all that. Like, he pushed all the right buttons. So I was completely wrong on Jim Harbaugh. But I'm not wrong on the San Diego / LA franchise that you've had, and even Mac mentioned, he goes, they even had Dan Fouts and did nothing, right? Like
Kellen Winslow.
Find me
a
franchise's quarterback Mount Rushmore that's better than the Chargers. Fouts, Breeze, Rivers, and now we've got Justin Herbert.
Green Bay would challenge that, I think.
Green Bay would have Bart Starr,
Littlefinger,
and Favre. That's three. San Diego has legitimately had two Hall of Famers, a borderline Hall of Famer, and a guy who's now just entering the prime of his career. Like, it's unbelievable how little they've accomplished as a franchise with how much star power they've had at the most important position over time. And maybe Harbaugh was the missing piece that now brings this all together, because they really have lacked from a head coaching standpoint. I mean, who was their best head coach before Harbaugh got there?
Norvell.
But was he a good head coach, or was he Phillip Rivers carrying that team? Because Norv hasn't really had much success.
Offensive-minded, so I mean, he probably built that offense around what he had at quarterback. I'd give Norv a little bit of credit.
Okay.
The other thing that's interesting, too, is that, you know, they're building around Justin Herbert, right? Like, I know that he had Keenan Allen, who was a great receiver for him, but again, the coaching didn't have a system that everybody was bought into, and Keenan Allen went to the Bears, who still got some life, and now we know why he wears that skull cap. Man, when his helmet got pulled off, he got that penalty last week. I was like, oh, Keenan Allen.
No wonder he was upset.
But the thing that's kind of like maybe needs to be a little bit spent more time on focus is like the up-and-coming AFC West, that's the best division, in my opinion, in the AFC, is not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere because of the quarterbacks.
And you look at, and again, we're going to have to see what Bo Nix can do over time, but you look and see what Sean Payton has done with Bo Nix. Last year, everybody was like, Sean Payton might have lost it, might have had a step out of the league too long, and now he's trying to get back in time. He's turned that offense and that team around. He has that team believing in themselves. Denver.
And he's trusting Bo Nix, too, which is huge.
Right.
Huge.
And, you know, they're building around him. Like, he has found Cortland Sutton. That is his guy, right? Like, he knows that's where he's going with the football more often than not. You look at the Chargers. They drafted Ladd McConkey, who's been an absolute stud for Justin Herbert. That's exactly what he needed. Somebody that he could trust. Like Harbaugh, trusting in his quarterback. The last time that Harbaugh and Herbert were not on the same page was the first year they did their little quarterback prep pound up, where he like didn't know what he was doing. Since then, they've been hand in hand, a tandem. And then you look at the Chiefs. They're not going anywhere. They're locked up. Right. They've won the division for 8 consecutive years, going for 9 this year. And eventually, teams get tired of that. And you add that plus disappointment, which the Broncos don't really have because they've won. But you look at what the Chargers are trying to do. They're trying to be that team of, you know, being relatable, being talked about when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. And you look at the AFC West, man, coaching, quarterbacks, that division is dynamite, and it's not going anywhere, and it's very young. Mahomes isn't 30. Bo Nix is 30. Yeah. Justin Herbert isn't 30. Peyton's experience, Andy Reid's the best coach in football, and Harbaugh might be one of the best coaches to ever do it in any sort of platform of football, college, or pro.
Harbaugh's moving up the list for me. And again, I was wrong about that. I did not think they'd have success with the reincarnation, the rebirth, if you will, of Jim Harbaugh. I just thought he was in the college game too long, and he could be corny and weird with college students, but the pros, the professionals, adults kind of see through that. They roll their eyes. They've all bought in. They've all bought into that program. And yeah, you're right. This is going to be the division, I think, for a long time to come, where it's going to be, all right, who's winning the AFC West this year? Because they've got three great quarterbacks. They've got three great head coaches. Who knows what the Raiders are going to do? Tom Brady may play a game for them. I don't know. But like
Mac, this has your topic written all over it. Like, who are you taking? Lamar, Burrow, and Russ with Tomlin, Harbaugh, and Zach Taylor? Or are you taking Bo Nix, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid, Harbaugh, and Peyton?
Do we even know if Zach Taylor's guaranteed to come back?
Not yet.
Yeah, I think he'll get fired.
I don't know.
You do think he's going to get fired?
I think he'll get fired. I think they'll miss the playoffs. They were a 10.5
How many years
under.
Are left on his contract?
No clue.
Because the reason I ask, and it's a real reason, Cincinnati's notoriously cheap. Marvin Lewis hung out for 2 decades.
I'm sure they extended him after the Super Bowl appearance, right. I would imagine.
And so what's his buyout going to be? Like, Mike Brown is notoriously cheap. The old story goes he supplied the players with one pair of socks each year. That was it, because they didn't want to spend money on them.
Wow.
They don't even have a practice facility.
To your question, Dusty, I kind of, even though I'm still not fully bought into Bo Nix, I have been wrong this season. I don't know the longevity of where that'll go, but I lean towards the AFC West because of the coaching. I mean, Harbaugh, Peyton, and Andy Reid. I mean, that's the best trifecta of coaches in a division.
I mean, I think we're celebrating Zach Taylor a little bit too much, maybe. You know, like, I know he beat us over 2 years ago now.
But Lou Anarumo and that defense were a massive part of that. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow. I mean, it's not like he was...
Where is that defense right now in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Still looking for it.
Well, yeah. Where's Lou Armadillo? Yeah, I mean, like this guy was being celebrated 2 years ago, and now nobody even talks about him. That's why you don't hire a coordinator that has a flash in the pan for 1 year to be your head coach. That's why the NFL is so effed, because they can't hire the right head coaches. But maybe some of these teams are starting to figure it out. You got more good coaches now in the NFL than you had 5 years ago. Both Harbaughs, Tomlin, D'Amico, Andy. I mean, Sean Payton, really good head football coach, what he's done with Bo Nix
What do all those guys do, which was what you guys have both mentioned? They buy into what they have. They buy into their quarterback. They support them, and they say, okay, here's what he's really good at. We're going to become that. We're morphing into that.
Yeah, but that's got Andy Reid written all over it.
100%.
I know we've talked about it a lot, but like Andy Reid drafted traded for Alex Smith. And Binkley will tell you this story 10 times on Sunday and twice on Monday and 17 times on Tuesday. He went out and hired some guy that created the pistol offense or whatever it was that was Alex Smith's bread and butter when he was at Utah. I think the name was Chris Ault of the guy. The Chiefs hired him as like a consultant the first year they had Alex Smith and said, you had success with this guy. Show us how to have success with Alex Smith. Huh? Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, they had success with Alex Smith. What's happening here? I don't know. Andy Reid listened. Andy Reid looked at the player and said, okay, you do A, B, and C so well. I'm not worried about D, E, and F because you can't do that. So we're going to focus on what you do well and accentuate what you do well. Novel idea. Then they draft Patrick Mahomes. The first phone call Andy Reid makes, Cliff Kingsbury. Why did you have success with this guy? Tell me everything about him. Cliff Kingsbury told him everything. Patrick Mahomes hits the ground running, has success. Why? Because Andy Reid is smart and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk to the guys where these guys were successful and find out why. And I'm going to learn something new. And Andy changed constantly in his coaching. He didn't bring guys in like the old days of NFL coaches and said, I run this offense, so get out there and do it. Now Andy came in and goes, this guy's been doing this for 4 years in college and has success. This is what we're going to do with him here. And you check your ego at the door, and everybody has success, everybody gets credit, everybody wins. It's not that hard to figure out. That's why Todd Haley was an abject failure, because he wouldn't check his damn ego at the door. And when Charlie Weiss was getting credit, Todd Haley was bitching about it.
And then grew his hair out.
And a beard.
Zach Taylor's under contract with the Bengals through 2026.
So he's got two more seasons, five and six.
And he ranks 14th in the league in terms of salary at $4.5 million a year.
So you're talking about $9 million to buy him out. I don't know that Cincinnati's going to eat that money.
Or you could trade him.
That's an interesting one. Like, if somebody suggested it the other day, and I've been saying all along, like, the Bears job. People keep talking about this Bears job.
Yeah, they think they should go trade for Shanahan.
It's a brilliant move. It's a brilliant move.
It's because a great move.
Chiefs did it. I mean, he wasn't a coach at the time, but they had to give up a second, a third round pick for Dick Vermeil.
For Vermeil and for
Trent Green.
And Herm Edwards, too, they had to give up picks for.
Yeah, no, Vermeil, which was, he was under contract, but he wasn't coaching because they went with Martz. He retired. Right. And then they were like, hey, dude, like, you want to run one of the best offenses ever in Kansas City? All right, it's going to cost you a second, a third.
Fine. Vermeil's still pissed about
that.
What
would Shanahan cost?
I would absolutely, I would give up my first round draft pick for him.
Yeah, me too.
I think Chicago's a great job.
I think so too.
I disagree, unless they're changing owners, because ownership is so bad.
But also, if you win in Chicago, man, that's a major city.
Yeah, it is, and they haven't had anything since 1985.
Look how big Kansas City is, and, I mean, it's mid-market, and they're everywhere. Imagine being the guy that could turn around in Chicago who hasn't had a 4,000-yard passer in franchise history.
It's crazy.
You have a special talent at quarterback who's got talent written all or supported all right around him. I mean,
defense is pretty legit.
I mean, it might be a first, second, and a third for Shanahan if you're the Niners.
And I wouldn't think twice about doing that if I was Chicago. You need a legit head coach there after whatever this Eberflus.
You got to do the Clark Hunt move, man. You got to make sure Andy Reid doesn't leave the airport.
Right.
Like, here's a blank check. I got to save my ass. Our franchise has been terrible. Can you save it? And since that day, Clark Hunt's been able to put his feet on the ottoman and have somebody else make him a sandwich.
And if I'm Chicago, I'm calling Pittsburgh, too, and seeing what they want to give up for Mike Tomlin.
He might be untouchable, did to Russell Wilson, whatever you have, dude, like, you keep it here.
Yeah, you just keep going. Three coaches in franchise history, four coaches, they're not getting
that in
Mike
our
Tomlin.
Lifetimes, in our lifetime, they've, But Shanahan, I've been saying for, a couple weeks now, I feel like it's time there. Like, it's time for him to move on.
Can I ask this? How many number one picks would you demand if somebody called for Andy?
Yeah, we had this conversation about Mahomes one time, right?
Spinning.
And it was like, would you give up
seven?
Would you take 10 first round picks for Patrick Mahomes?
No. Because I don't know if that team, if you give that team Patrick Mahomes, that first round pick's not going to be 32nd, 32nd, 32nd.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, but this was before, it was after year one or two. And I remember Josh going, I'd take 10 first round picks for Mahomes right now. The year later, no chance, right?
No.
Like, you're not trading Patrick Mahomes for anything.
Let's say Chicago calls Clark Hunt. Says, hey, how you doing?
Yeah,
we used to be friends. Remember that?
Right. So TV Ted is calling down here and trying to get Andy.
What would it take?
Nothing. He's untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Thanks for calling, Ted. We appreciate it. We'll see you on TV behind a coach. But no, we're not trading Andy Reid. Now, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are probably the two most untouchable entities in all of sports.
Give me 7 first round picks and Roma Dunze. There we go.
And no, you're not trading Andy Reid. And Andy probably like, I'm not going up there.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, who's more tradable, Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid?
No, but if you're the Bears, I think the Shanahan one, I love that. Whoever floated that out yesterday, like,
that's a good idea.
The time has come and gone in San Francisco. Yeah.
Blow it up. Trade Debo, get picks.
Yep, absolutely. Brock Purdy, is not that good of a quarterback. He was a benefit of the, and that's fine, but you've got to. You have to understand when a window is open, but you also have to understand when that window is closed. That thing is slammed shut in San Francisco.
I saw a funny meme. It was a guy laying in snow smoking a cigarette and said, this is Kyle Shanahan after losing to the Bills knowing that their window is closed. I was like,
Their window has shut, and they need to move on. And Kyle Shanahan should be looking to move on as well. Because this year you could blame injury and whatnot. What happens if they don't win again next year?
Text line says, Caleb Williams and 6 first-rounders for Mahomes. Not enough.
No.
Not enough.
No.
No. Fun topic. We'll get to our disappointment in players and teams a little bit later on in the 9 o'clock hour. But coming up next, Matt Nagy's got a fast food order that's quite impressive. I want to know what your dream fast food order is, text line. Wake up, text line, 913-586-7965. What is your dream fast food order? Mac and I are going to hit the garage and tell you what ours is on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well, executive producer, holding everything down and everything up. That's not right. Okay. I'm sorry. From the text line, which we'll get into a little bit later, but I owe somebody a shout out. From Lance. Hey guys, can you give my mom Cheryl a happy birthday shout out, please? And thank you. Happy birthday, Cheryl.
Happy birthday.
As they call it in Game of Thrones, happy name day.
Happy birthday, Cheryl.
Happy Wednesday. Okay. We asked you on the text line, 913-586-7965, what is your go-to dream fast food order? Now, if you ask me this at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it might differentiate. That's not a word. It might be different than a lot of coffee. I also had Nalani today. I'm like just pissing lightning today, guys. I can't tell you why. I can tell you why. But Matt Nagy, audio, this is his go-to order at McDonald's.
Do you remember the order?
Long bowl, what was the order?
A Big Mac, no pickles, a double cheeseburger, no pickles, a fish filet, a six-piece nugget with barbecue, hot fudge sundae, and a Diet Coke. I throw it all away when I'm done eating it in the garage trash before I go inside to the kitchen.
One more time.
You remember the order?
Long bowl, what was the order?
A Big Mac, no pickles, a double cheeseburger, no pickles, a fish filet, a six-piece nugget with barbecue, hot fudge sundae, and a Diet Coke. I throw it all away when I'm done eating it in the garage trash before I go inside to the kitchen.
I mean,
Matt.
You better be in the garage after you eat that.
How do you maintain that figure?
So
seriously.
Yeah. So,
NFL facility superstitions helps. A lot, you know?
So, a Big Mac, no pickle, a McDouble, no pickle.
What do you do with the pickle? You just throw it on the cardboard floor?
I love pickles.
I'm the same, too. I'm the same with Matt. No pickle. Let's go.
Oh, man. The pickles on a Freddy's burger, the planks, fire. Nah. A fish filet, never had one in my life. Don't plan on it.
Love it.
R.I.P. to my mother. That was her favorite thing from McDonald's when she was hungover.
a fish filet?
Yeah, dude. A fish filet with fries and mayo. By the way, Mom, happy birthday today. It's her heavenly birthday today, December 4th. Then he would get a six-piece nug barbecue sauce. I'd go sweet and sour.
Yeah, sweet and sour is the goat of any kind of dipping sauce.
And then a hot fudge sundae, very underrated ice cream.
Oh, it's good.
Very underrated.
I used to try to get the spoon in the grooves of that cup to make sure I got all the hot fudge out.
Better believe it. I looked like Tim Allen in the Santa Claus, and they're like, all right, we're getting lunch orders. Anybody want anything? He's like, I'll do the hot fudge sundae. White for fudge and a couple cookies. Jesus, Scott, where'd you put all that? He's in sweatpants in the board meeting with Ray Romano's dad. Yeah. R.I.P. to that guy, too.
Peter Boyle.
Yeah. And
former coach at St. Joe's.
The Diet Coke, I disagree with. I do love me a McDonald's Coke. But I go to you guys first, and I'll go to the text line, and I can talk about my fat ass as well. What is your go-to fast food order if you're in the garage?
I think...
Because that's where he throws it away.
Yeah, which is funny, though, because...
You know, we might find out.
I looked in the trash, like, last week.
Oh, yeah?
And...
Jen been in the garage?
Two bags of Freddy's in the trash can.
Not yours?
It's not mine. You know how I eat.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
is it Friday?
It was like, who's eating the Freddy's? Clearly the kids were like, okay, dad made dinner, but you know, we're going to make sure we eat, throw the evidence away.
I'm not hungry. Why are you full?
Yeah. Well, I ate a big lunch at school today, which
why are
clearly,
you in the garage, Dad?
Clearly Matt's doing that so Stacy doesn't find out that he's chowing down on all this McDonald's. But like all these guys that came from Philadelphia have a McDonald's story. Because, well, Andy Reid would send them. I mean, you talk about Brett Veach. He used to make these midnight runs before McDonald's would close in Philadelphia for bags of double cheeseburgers for everybody. Like that's just the way it went, you know, with those guys. So they, you know, became part of their lexicon. And then you know how athletes are, right? Coaches, something starts working, they have to continue to do it. And I guess my new kind of superstition has been, I got to go to Cactus now every Friday at 159th and see my guy Ryan have a shot of something because the only week we haven't been there on a Friday was the Buffalo game.
Ah, superstitious.
So, like, this is a Friday where we got a lot going on early, but, like, we're slipping in, having a shot and slipping out because we don't want to be the reasons why something, you know, could potentially go wrong. So fast food meal for me, like if I could have it, it would be a double-double from In-N-Out with an extra large order of fries and, you know, a bunch of ketchup.
Is that the animal style place?
No, yeah. Okay. But I wouldn't get, I'm not an animal style guy, but just give me a double-double from In-N-Out. Give me an order of fries. Like there's a place in Peoria, Arizona, on the corner of 101 and Winslow. Bell Road, okay? I wish it was. So you picture in your mind, if you've ever been out to spring training, Peoria, Arizona, the 101 and Bell Road. And it is a parking lot that shares an In-N-Out burger and a Chick-fil-A.
and you want to talk about like the best of both worlds in that intersection. Like if you love the Chick-fil-A fries, you can go get yourself an In-N-Out burger.
Waffle fries.
And then go get some waffle fries. Ooh. You're in the same parking lot.
Nice.
Like that may be the, and then like if you go, I believe it's a little bit west down Bell Road, there's a Whataburger there. So if you wanted to stop there, like 101 and Bell Road in Peoria, Arizona, may be the most glorious fast food intersection. And then to have a parking lot with an In-N-Out burger and a Chick-fil-A in the same place, except on Sunday, that's the go-to right there. I could sit in that parking lot 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and just gorge on both of those two things.
From the 913, wings from the Peanut, a Whopper, McDonald's fries, and a Dr. Pepper. Solid.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
From the 620, Big Mac, spicy chicken sandwich from Casey's, tater tots from Sonic, and a large Pepsi from Taco Bell.
But see, Matt went to one place and got all this. And then Matt McMullen went and ate this whole thing. You can watch the video on the Chiefs' social channels.
They should have put that in the Hallmark movie.
Yeah, they should have. But like, if you're going to one place, too, for breakfast right now, for me, it's Whataburger. I'm smashing those honey chicken biscuit sandwiches and their taquitos.
Yeah, I mean,
that is money.
Great.
That is a money breakfast right now.
From the 913 and Casey Hunk, killer fast food meal. Two hard tacos, two soft tacos, two tostadas at Taco Bell.
That's a good one.
Ooh, okay.
Or if you're like our old boss, you could order the whole menu at Del Taco and not share.
From the 816, Chick-fil-A spicy deluxe sandwich, Sonic onion rings, Arby's Jamocha shake. Two Albee patties, two special sauce, loves cheese, pickles, onions on the same sesame bun. My buddy Matt sends me, he says his meal would be Culver's double deluxe butter burger with cheese curds, Freddy's fries, and a chalupa with spicy
ranch. You know what, that sounds really good.
Damn.
Yeah. Just give me any $7 box at Taco Bell and throw in a spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, and I'll be your best friend.
What are you going with, Mac?
Yeah, I mean, everything sounds delectable. I got to start with Winstead's double. I got to get my onion rings there. And then, probably something from that cheesy double beef burrito from Taco Bell.
I think I would probably go, if I had to get into my like garage mindset, I would probably go a double cheese and onion ring from High Boy, a Crunchwrap Supreme, mozzarella sticks from Arby's, and a Baja Blast from Taco Bell.
Are you hiding the evidence like he did in the trash can?
I did have a buddy in high school. I swear, this is a true story. I had a buddy in high school that would go get Taco Bell, and so he wouldn't be shamed by anybody. He would order a cheesy roll-up for the ride. That was like his appetizer.
And so he wouldn't be shamed?
Yeah, because he already had a huge order, but he wanted a cheesy roll-up too. So he could tie it over.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And there's been times, boys, where I've gone to McDonald's and gotten like two spicy McChickens, because my order, if I ever get to McDonald's, which is like once every 2 weeks, is a spicy McChicken, a McDouble, and a medium fry.
Oh, my.
That's what I get. It's like $9 nowadays. Used to be like $3.50. But true.
I was looking at McDonald's prices from when I was in high school yesterday. Mm. For whatever reason, I was like, I guess Jen went to McDonald's or whatever. Mm. I'm like, do they still have the 79-cent cheeseburger? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, right.
And so then I started looking. Like, every value meal was $2.99. The Big Mac value meal, the double cheese. Like, everything was $2.99 except for the Chicken grilled chicken sandwich.
Chris.
That was $3.49.
Jeez.
For the, and then 39 cents, of course, the supersize. Who's not supersizing?
Mm-hmm. RIP to the dollar menu. Or you just go to Wendy's and get the biggie bag. From the text line, Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Ozempic. I mean, I wouldn't be able to eat that today. But no, every once in a while I would get the spicy McChicken, the McDouble, and the fry, and I'd add a spicy McChicken and I would eat that before I got home. I was like my cig.
Oh, just hide it.
Yeah. Like, yep. And then I'd have like mayonnaise all over my face. Somebody park up next to me at a red light and look over and be like, oh, does he have rabies?
I'll tell you what another good burger is.
No, I'm just hungry.
The double cheeseburger from Burger King is money,
I've been to Burger King in so long.
I took my wife there for her birthday last year. Mm. She was my queen, so I took her to Burger King.
Poncho's chimichanga, paste of sour cream, and pico all over the rice, too. Salsa dumped on top. There you go.
Where's that from?
Poncho's.
Oh, I thought you said Jimmy John's.
No. I haven't got that Jimmy John's pickle sandwich yet.
That looks refreshing.
I've heard it's really good.
Got to have pickle, but I'll eat that in the summertime. Coming up on the other side, Tom Brady said something that we all agree with. That's right. Tom Brady said something we all agree about with your Kansas City Chiefs. You'll listen to it next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.